Are you suggesting that my pies ain't right?
Let us say I'm inching my way to the possibility that they might be, shall we? All right. I'll try a gourmet pie.
Good on ye.
Dibbler removed a pie from the little heated section of his tray. Now, what's the meat? Cat?
Do you mind? Mutton's cheaper than cat,
said Dibbler, upending the pie into a dish. Well, that's... Rincewind's face screwed up. Oh, no, you're pouring pea soup all over it, too. Why does everyone always pour pea soup over it?
Nah, worries, mate. Put a lining in your stomach,
said Dibbler, producing a red bottle. And what's that?
The cat de grace, mate.
You are tipping a meat pie into a dish of pea soup, and now you want me to eat it with tomato sauce on it?
Pretty colours, ain't they?
Said Fergo, handing Rincewind a spoon. Rincewind prodded the pie. It rebounded gently off the side of the dish. Well, now he'd eaten cut-me-own-throat Dibbler's sausage in a bun, and disembowel-myself honourably Dibhala's funny-coloured antique eggs, and he'd survived, although there had been a few minutes when he'd hoped he wouldn't. He'd eaten Al Jibbler's highly suspicious couscous, drunk the terrible yak butter tea made by may-I-never-achieve-enlightenment D-Blang, forced down the topless, bottomless smorgasbord of Dib-Diblonsons, and tried not to chew the lumps of unmentionable blubber purveyed by may-I-be-kicked-in-my-own-ice-hole Dibuki. His stomach heaved at the memory of that. After all, it was one thing to butcher dead beached whales, and quite another just to leave them there until they exploded into bite-sized chunks of their own accord. As for the green beer made by swallow-me-own-blow-dart Dalang-Dalang, he'd drunk and eaten all these things. Everywhere in the world, someone turned up out of some strange primal mould to sell him a really dreadful regional delicacy. And this was just a pie, after all. How bad could it be? No, put it another way. How much worse could it be? He swallowed a mouthful.
Good, eh?
Said Fergo.
My gods,
said Rincewind.
They're not just any mushy peas,
said Fergo, slightly disconcerted by the fact that Rincewind was staring wildly at nothing.
They're mushed by a champion pea musher.
Good grief,
said Rincewind.
You're right, mister.
It's everything I expected,
said Rincewind.
Nah, mister, it ain't that bad.
You're certainly a dibbler.
What kind of a thing is that to say?
You put pies upside down in runny peas and then put sauce on them. Someone actually sat down one day after midnight, if I'm any judge, and thought that would be a good idea. No one will ever believe this one. Rincewind looked at the submerged pie. That's going to make the story about the land of the giant walking plum puddings look very tame, I don't mind telling you. No wonder you people drink so much beer. There is such a thing as an edible, nay, delicious meat pie floater. It's mushy peas of just the right consistency. It's tomato sauce piquant in its cheekiness. It's pie filling tending even towards named parts of the animal. There are platonic burgers made of beef instead of cow lips and hooves. There are fish and chips, where the fish is more than just a white goo, lurking at the bottom of a batter casing and you can't use the chips to shave with. There are hot dog fillings, which have more in common with meat than with mere pinkness, whose lucky consumers don't apply mustard because that would spoil the taste. It's just that people can be trained to prefer the other sort and seek it out. It's as if Machiavelli had written a cookery book. Even so, there is no excuse for putting pineapple on pizza. He stepped out into the flickering lamplight of the street, shaking his head. You actually eat the pies here, he said mournfully, and looked up into the face of the warder. There were several watchmen behind him.
That's him!
Rincewind nodded cheerfully.
Good day,
he said. Two little thuds were his homemade sandals bouncing on the street. The sea steamed, and crackling balls of lightning zipped across its surface like drops of water on a hot plate. The waves were too big to be waves, but about the right size for mountains. Ponder looked up from the deck only once, just as the boat began to slide down a trough that gaped like a canyon. Next to him, and gripping his leg, the Dean groaned.
"You know about this sort of thing, Ponder," he growled as they hit the trough and then began the stomach-twisting climb to the next crest. "Are we going to die?"
"I don't think so, Dean."
"Pity,"